That's the sermon for this morning. We can just end there. That was just so good. So good. Happy New Year, guys. It's great to be able to worship with you today on this kind of special time of the year where we gather, we reflect. There's something about New Year's, right? Where you kind of look at the year behind you and its excitements, its disappointments, its challenges, its rewards. And we kind of look forward to the new year with hope and excitement and kind of a challenge to ourselves to better ourselves, right? We often do New Year's resolutions where we take the time to say, this is what I want to be about this year. This is who I want to be. This is where I want to go. This is how I want to become a better person. And I think it's very important for us to do that kind of reflection. The kind of reflection that comes with New Year shouldn't be passed over, but embraced. Because it's in those times of reflection that we actually decide, okay, what is it that I'm going to be about? Who is it that I'm going to be? What am I going to do? And so I thought this Sunday of any Sunday of the year is incredibly appropriate for us to approach this question as a church. That as we look forward and look back at the year that was and the year that is to be, that we would reflect on what is it that we're about? What are we here for? What kind of church, what kind of people are we? If I could boil down the goal for us as a church into one verse, and it's a verse you'll probably see on the Cornerstone website, on some of our literature. It's a verse that's taken out of 1 Thessalonians. It's written by Paul, something he wrote to the church there. He says this, "So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." That's pretty confusing language. He uses some big words at the beginning there. So I like to read it from the New Living Translation, which we have up there. It's a bit easier, a bit simpler to understand. He says, "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, the gospel, but our own lives too." Let me give you some context as to what's going on here. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians and he's saying, listen, I'm not coming to put on a show. I'm not coming to charge you admission and to make a bunch of money off you. I'm not coming with the big title of apostle branded across my chest and a big golden robe so you can look at me as one chosen by God to lead his church. No, I'm coming to share God's good news and to share myself with you. He didn't want to take advantage of the people of Thessalonica to the point where he says, I'm not just going to share the gospel, I'm going to share myself, my life with you as well. Here's why this verse is important. We are about the gospel. We are about the good news of Jesus. And we're also about the gospel together. About being people who are gospel people together. Let me break this down into kind of two groups. We are about the gospel because that's what defines us as Christians. We're people who have been redeemed by God through Christ by our faith in his life, death, and resurrection on our behalf. And so that results in us living our lives to follow Christ. We are people about that good news. We celebrate the gospel because it is good news. We talk about it every week and hopefully throughout the week. The good news that Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves. That Jesus was the perfect God-man who came to restore the relationship of humanity with its creator. That's good news, something we could never do on our own. The fact that God cared enough to do that for us. And so this good gospel that we celebrate results, like we said, in following Jesus' example, right? We listen and heed his teaching. That's why we study scripture. We follow Jesus' example by loving those that he loves. Hint, that's everybody. We follow Jesus' example by making ourselves about the things that Jesus is about. We follow Jesus' example by looking at the patterns that he set and following those where we see Jesus humbly serving instead of taking advantage of his position, then we humbly serve others, knowing that it's through that that God exalts us. We follow Jesus' pattern where we see Jesus constantly giving glory to the Father, constantly in step with God the Father, constantly listening to his guidance and working for his glory and his will. And it's through Christ that we are actually able to come to know the Father, to see his glory, to follow his will. We follow Jesus' pattern where he came and he died and rose to new life. And so we in Christ follow this pattern where we die, yes, to ourselves, but rise to new life in Christ. And have that amazing hope with this good news that even though we die physically, we will be raised to new life. We are people about the gospel because it's good news, because it's what God has done for us. Have you ever had a really, really good meal just by yourself? Have you ever gone to, I don't know, Sims Corner in Charlottetown and sat down to a nice big steak just by yourself? It's kind of weird to do that. In fact, I would argue that you wouldn't enjoy that nice steak dinner as much by yourself as you would enjoy it with someone else. There will be times where Haley and I will be sitting, going to watch something on Netflix and flicking through the options, because that's what you do when you watch Netflix. You spend as much time picking out what you want to watch as you do actually watching something. And we'll be looking through movies and Haley will be like, oh, let's watch that. And I'll say, well, you've already seen that one. And she'll say, no, but I want to watch it with you. And it kind of confuses me because, you know, the movie doesn't change based on who you're watching it with. The plot isn't going to be different now because Tyler's sitting on the couch next to her. But there's something about enjoying something good with someone else that enhances that experience. You're not really enjoying a good meal until you're sitting around a table with other people sharing that experience. I mean, how many times have you recommended a restaurant to someone at saying, let's go here because the food is great and you want to enjoy that with people. You want to see the smile on their face when they take the bite of that delicious steak or whatever it is if you're a vegan. But when we share what is good, that good thing seems even better. We enjoy it all the more. The gospel life is meant to be shared. The gospel isn't fully appreciated unless it's shared communally. Jesus came and he lived and he died for people. And so we are about people. This is what the gospel together looks like. It means that we help one another move forward in our walk of faith. It means as a church family, we are there cheering each other onward as we pursue Christ. That we're each other's cheerleaders and encouragers, sometimes coaches. That we help each other move onward. We encourage each other to use our own unique God-given gifts for the kingdom of God here on earth. The gospel together looks like us not just preaching the gospel from a pulpit on Sunday morning, but showing a lived out gospel with how we interact with one another, with how we live our lives. That a God who initiated a relationship with us would affect the way we do relationships. The gospel together looks like fostering relationships with others so that these kind of things can happen. We can't live this out on our own. The Christian faith was never meant for us to be locked in our bedroom on our own. We need community. We need to do the gospel together. We need to live this out together to help one another. We're doing communion today. And this goes by several different names. The Lord's Supper, communion, the Eucharist, whatever you want to call it. But the word communion has an interesting connotation to it. Communion means to have common participation, to participate in something that unites us all. Our common participation as a church is in Christ. That's the thing that ties us together first and foremost. We may be neighbors, we may be living in the same part of the island. We may be members of a church, but the thing that unites us together is our common participation in Christ, our common faith in Christ. And that is what will move us forward. That is what will help us move down the road in our walk of faith. That will help us to embrace the life that God has for us through Christ. Our ultimate goal as the church is for people to see the glory of God in Jesus. For people to come to know the fullness of who God is through Jesus. People of all walks of life. That's not just an evangelism kind of thing. But that you and me and people who don't yet know Jesus would know the fullness of who the Father is in Jesus. Our goal is that each of us would grasp more of that. Not just start a new relationship, but grow more deeply, to grow our affections for God through Christ in a way that changes us, in a way that makes us new. See, the gospel that we're about is a gospel that takes. Haley and I started gardening this summer. Jim and Isabel lent us a little plot of their garden. It was a big plot, actually, of their garden. And we decided to plant some vegetables and grew a lot of weeds. And we grew way too many tomatoes, too. It was weird. But I'm really about, like, yellow beans. That is what I love coming from the garden. Just, like, summertime for me is, like, corn on the cob and beans and barbecue. And so we planted a ton of yellow bean, like a whole like long row of it. It would probably stretch from one side of the sanctuary to the other of these yellow beans. And we didn't get very many beans. I was so disappointed. And the thing is, like, you plant these and after however many weeks, when there's nothing coming up out of it, you're like, were these seeds duds? Like, this box of bean seeds, did I get ripped off? Did these just not work? The gospel that we're about is not a dud gospel. It comes and it takes root in our soul. And it springs up and bears fruit in our lives. That is the gospel that we're about. That as we come to Christ, as we seek him, we bear fruit, we grow, we change by the work of God in us. We're about a gospel that takes. And that is our desire, that all people would see that, would embrace that, would experience that work of God in their life. And so how do we work towards this goal of all people seeing the glory of God in Christ, experiencing this gospel that changes, that takes? Well, like Paul wrote, we preach the gospel continually to point people to who it is we place our faith in. And preaching doesn't mean we stand up on a Sunday morning or a soapbox on the corner and preach a sermon. It means that we know what it means to put our faith in Jesus, to embrace him and to know that he is who we need. To constantly point people to God and what he's done for us in Christ. We preach the gospel, but we also share the gospel with our lives. We, by God's grace, allow our lives to become displays of God's gospel, the place where the rubber meets the road. That people can see, yes, this is a gospel that takes by God's grace. This is something that changes us. This is something that affects who we are. And we allow people to see that work in our lives. We preach the gospel and we share our lives with others. As the church, that's what we ought to be about. As the big C church, as in all the believers in God, in Christ of all time and all places. Not just us as Cornerstone, but as Cornerstone, that is one of the things that we kind of formally say is of value to us. It's something we write into the DNA of our church. You may remember last year after Easter, we did a sermon series where we preached through our values. And I just kind of want to bring up this slide for you. This is literally a screen capture from our website. That this is what it looks like. This is our value of this goal. That in all things, Christ would be central. That in our preaching and our teaching in our lives, that Jesus would be at the center of it. And the redemption we find in Jesus. That's what we want to be about. We say that the Bible, God's word, is authoritative in what we do and how we make decisions. That if we want to actually hear from God, we look in Scripture and know that he has spoken. And so we hold on to that, knowing that that is how God has chosen to reveal himself to us. We value a strong sense of community, living the gospel out together, being a church family where we have each other's backs and bear one another's burdens and can actually form the kind of relationships where we can spur each other onward in our faith. We value ministry in the kingdom of God. That sounds kind of confusing and vague. What that means is what we do has a significant impact on our community, on the life and hearts of other people. We long that what we are about is a part of God's greater mission on earth. And we value total life worship, meaning we don't just worship God on Sunday mornings. We worship God with the entirety of our lives, that as we leave here, as we drive home, that we are working to worship God with all of who we are. With our jobs, our relationships, our marriages, how we have fun, how we eat, all of our lives, revolve around worshiping God. Those are the things that we as a church say we're about. Those are our values. Those are our repeated New Year's resolutions, things that we want to be about. Some of you may remember the summer of 2015 when Montague Baptist Church closed down after the June 28th service. And for that summer, we met together kind of as a small group, kind of embedding the DNA of what we want to be about as a church. Some of you may remember a colorful document like this. This was something that I spent a lot of time and prayer working on as to what we need to be about as a church. And I came up with this phrase that Cornerstone Montague would be a gospel-centered community of faith for Montague. And I color-coded it. I thought it was, you know, great to see the colors on that. I like colors. I'm a very visual person. But that we would be about being gospel-centered, meaning that the gospel, the good news that we have in Christ, is the foundation defining who we are. Who we are is entirely found in Christ. That our message, what we preach on Sunday mornings and throughout the week, is the good news that we have in Christ. That our worldview, that how we make decisions, how we look at the world, is shaped by Christ and his gospel. We wanted to be a community of faith, meaning we worship together. We will use each moment to glorify God, giving thanks both individually throughout the week and corporately on Sundays and in our gatherings. That we are about worshiping God as a community. That we're about discipleship as a community, meaning that we live to pursue Christ more together. And we help one another in doing that. And that as a community of faith, we're about relationship. That we do the gospel together in the way where we let people in. We let people know what's going on and allow them to pray for us and to speak into our lives and to love us. To help us in our walk of faith together. And we're a community of faith for Montague, meaning that we strive to meet the needs in our community that we're able to. So things like the community closet, the benevolent fund, things like that are how we're trying to meet those needs. We share Jesus because good news is greater news when it's shared. And then the last one, opening homes, is a way of being vulnerable, being hospitable, allowing people to come into our space that Christ might be shared, that relationships might be built, also that the gospel can take root. These sheets, these values, these vision statements, they're not magic. They're color-coded. They're not magic. These statements aren't going to change the world. Only the gospel can do that. These statements that we have, though, are meant to remind us of the gospel and how the gospel will change the world, will change hearts, will change people, will change us. We need to be reminded of that regularly. On Friday, we found our New Year's resolutions from last year after a year of not reading them since we wrote them. That's brutal. On Friday, like 3 days before the year is over. And we look back and last night we looked through them and read through them and reflected and realized we need to be reminded of these resolutions we made in order to fulfill them, right? They're just a sheet in a drawer if we're not reminding ourselves of them. We can't live them out unless we're reminded. We need to be reminded about the gospel. We need to be reminded about living the gospel together, like Paul wrote. We need to be reminded because when we stop reminding ourselves, we wander. We wander from our goal. We sing it in the hymn, Come Thou Fount. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's where our heart goes when we don't remind ourselves of the gospel. This morning we're going to do something special meant to remind us of the gospel. As we take communion, we are doing a very tangible reminder of Christ's body broken for us and his blood spilled for us. A reminder that the perfect God of heaven came down and laid in a manger and became a king in dying and rising and being exalted.